The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
Hi, I'm Derek Story, and I'm here with Richard Karas today. We've talked in a little bit in the past, and we're going to do a little bit more chatting about Aperture plugins. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm doing great. I think the last time we talked, we only had a few plugins to talk about, and now we've got more than I can talk about in the time frame that we'll have. So,
And I want to hear about some of them. We're at WWDC this week. There's a lot going on around all of this stuff, the development of plugins. We're having a get-together tonight that we're going to talk a little bit. So we've got community, we've got technology, the whole deal going. But let's start out with some of the new plugins, or maybe just giving us, why don't you just give us a little update on things, and then we'll roll into some of the new plugins.
Sounds great. You know, in the 8 months that we've had the Export API out for Aperture, we've seen just a phenomenal amount of developers come to the application and release plugins. Right now, we've got over 35 plugins from over 30 developers and individuals, and most of whom are here at WWDC this year. So we thought it'd be great to get a little get-together, have everybody meet each other and talk with some of the other folks on the engineering team and the marketing team, things like that. And that's what's going to be happening tonight. The great thing is we're oversold on our RSVP for the room here that we're doing it at, and everybody's looking forward to it. So we're pretty jazzed on that. I mean, that's a really great indication of that in only 8 months, how much we're starting to see this thing come to life. You know, this is still in the very, very early stages. And to have this kind of interest and these kinds of plugins going on. And also with me here today, I thought it'd be great to introduce everybody to a few other folks that are responsible for helping make this happen. And that's third-party folks. And from AperturePluggedIn.com, we have Micah. And from our Aperture professional network, we have David here. And I'll let them talk about the stuff that they're doing in their world and how they're bringing the developers and the customers together and the kinds of things that are going on there.
Yeah, we have really a good community effort going here. And we're definitely going to get to the event tonight, which is the AUPN event. And Mike is going to talk a little bit about his new site, or his renovated site, I should say. It's been around for a while. And those of you that read the blog on Inside Aperture are familiar with it. Richard, first, why don't we talk about a few plugins? What are the plugins that are really getting you going right now?
Some of the ones that we've seen a lot of activity on, there's from the professional side, there's the FTP Pro plugin, which the folks at Ubermind have done. These guys are just a great developer, and the reason they are is that they have a consistent way of producing their plugins so that there's a nice, clean install. They do a screencast for everyone so that you can learn what it is and how it works and everything else, and they listen to the community. They've done some plugins in the past, to Gallery and other things, and they saw in the community that a lot of professional photographers that use Aperture have to submit their photos through FTP. And there's been a few things out there in the community that will do it, but not a really robust, strong FTP plugin. So they decided that they would produce one, and that's just what they did. And it's fantastic. I know tons of photographers now that are using this as part of their workflow. And the great thing about the plugins is that it takes your workflow of Aperture and it extends it out into whatever your area of profession is. So that's one that's really cool. On the fun side, we have the Aperture to Facebook, which is I'm still learning about all this stuff. It's kind of like MySpace for adults, I think. And what it does is it collects your photos and puts them into the gallery that you have there on Facebook.
So one of the things that I've noticed when I've been using these plugins, I've noticed that the fit and finish on them is pretty good. And so a lot of times when we see third-party apps for OS X, you know, because people are using the Apple tools, we're seeing almost always good apps roll out, especially if they follow the human interface guidelines and all that good stuff. Are you seeing that same sort of conformity in the plugin writing? How's that going?
We see it in a lot of the area that goes on from the people that are experienced developers. But one of the great things about having a free SDK that's out there for people and a 30-day trial that allows somebody to write a plugin and do something without having to spend a dime if they want to just try it out is that we get a lot of students and individuals doing this for the first time ever. And so actually one of the things that Micah, David, and I have been talking about today is how can we help those people have the fit and finish like you're saying, of some of the slicker plugins that are out there, we can help accelerate that by having a common site for them to come to and just some common guidelines and instructional tutorials that will help them how to build a proper installer, how to do a screencast, or where you can get a screencast done if you don't have the facilities to do it yourself, and things like that to sort of give them the boost that they need to get their plugins thrown into the mix with the big ones that are out there. And that's something that Micah and David and I have been talking about today, and I think they're going to be able to tell this community some of the things that they're going to do to make that all possible.
Well, let's pick that up right now. I'm going to go over to David Schloss.
We think that there's two really important aspects to photography. There's the photography that's the technical side of photography and the practice of photography, and then we think that there's photography that's the community of photography. And we at the Aperture Users Professional Network, the goal is to really provide a single source location for photographers to be able to come share ideas, find training, and find information. And you know, with these plugins, we think that especially this is such a way to be able to expand both the product but also expand what photographers are doing. And so for us, to be able to provide people locations to download the plugins, to be able to provide roundups and information on new plugins and new information, this helps photographers expand what they're doing both technologically and as part of a community. And so we think it's key to the development of Aperture. We think it's key to the development of photographers who understand how to fit the program into what they do on a daily basis. And so we work very hard to make sure that we've got technical information, multimedia, podcasts, screencasts, on all aspects of Aperture development in order to help really round out the experience for the photographer.
You do different types of training, and then also you're trying to put Aperture users in touch with one another. So if I'm a photographer and actually Richard and I have talked about this before, if I'm a photographer and there's a plug-in that I want or I have an idea for one, but I don't necessarily want to write it myself, is this something that I can tap into that community, or is this something more when, you know, some of the other things that Richard and I have talked about before where they basically go through the developer channel?
Well, right now it's a resource for people to talk about the things that they want to find in plugins, but what we've been talking about is increasing the exposure that the developers will have in order to get that feedback directly from the photographers and then develop plugins specifically for the photographer base. So we've been talking a lot, the three of us today, about ways to do that. And our idea in the long run and also in the short run is to make our community a source for the developers as much as it is a source for the photographers, because really anybody who wants to participate in some aspect of photography is somebody we want to have as part of the community. And it makes sense to put the developer community right in touch with the photographers, take out the middleman, let the developers ask the photographers, what do you want? What don't you want in a plugin? How do I develop it for you? We think that's very strong. So we're, currently if photographers can post lots of ideas about things that they want to add to Aperture, and that's a great source for the developer. We'll be adding more and more features for the developers to find resources on our site as well.
That being said, though, you're hosting an event tonight at WWDC. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the event? And I think this is going to be now the third one that I've been to. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we're glad to have you, so we're glad you keep coming back. You know, one of the things we did is we partnered with Micah a long time ago, so actually, Derek, you and I share Micah as a contributor to our websites, and we're really pleased about that. You know, we looked at what he was doing on AperturePluggedIn.com, and we said, you know, this is an aspect of the market, and this is an aspect of the development of Aperture that we really want to be involved in. So we had him start to do some work on roundups for photographers and articles about what the new plugins were, and then it, you know, became clear to us that we have a lot of similar goals. You know, we want to see the platform evolve. We want to see photographers evolve. And so we started talking about doing an event, and we talked about it with Richard in ways to tap into the Apple engineering community. And we came up with an idea for a joint event that would allow some photographers, some developers, and some Apple engineers to sort of mix. You know, we think that the social networking aspect of photography is really huge. Maybe not so much in the top-level pros, but certainly in the prosumer group, the consumers, the advanced amateurs. You know, people really like to meet other people and share ideas. So we had, you know, the events we had at PMA and WPPI where we got to talk. These are really great events. We've had several hundred people at these things just mingle in a room and share ideas. And there have been some really great things have come out of that. Jobs have come out of that. We are doing a training series starting in July We're going to be going to 15 cities. And that came out of direct feedback from the photographers at these events who said, I want 8 hours of training or, you know, 7 hours of training, whatever, in a classroom. I don't want to spend a lot of money. I just want to know everything I need to know. So we're doing that. And so our hope is that with the event tonight, we can do the same thing. We can get the plugin developers talking to photographers and the Apple people, and we can really streamline the process.
And of course, a lot of those developers will also be photographers. I mean, that's the one thing that we notice. I notice it in the medical field. A lot of doctors I know are photographers, and a lot of people that write applications for the Mac and so forth have a passion for photography also. So it's one of those things that seems to cut through all sorts of disciplines. So I think a lot of people might be changing their hats backwards and forwards tonight as they talk about developing in photography. Well, that leads us to Micah and talking a little bit about your revamped site. Now, why don't you give us a little bit of background on it? I think a lot of Inside Aperture users will be familiar with it. But this actually just kind of, the whole idea originally just sort of came out of nowhere. And as I recall, you put the first version of the site up in like a weekend or something.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I was basically, I just had started writing for you. And for some reason or another, I just got really interested in writing about plugins. I thought when they came out with the SDK and they were all of a sudden popping up left and right, it was, you know, an interesting time. So I started writing about them, and, you know, within a couple weeks or so, I started getting emails from people saying, you know, these plugins are really great. We need a way to kind of bring them all together. And that's where the idea for the site came. I put the site together pretty quickly, probably in about a course of a weekend or so. And initially, the idea was to make it basically a news site, you know, a blog with new announcements about every plugin that comes up. But I also sort of wanted it to be more of a community site where developers could come and sort of interact with users and share ideas. And it's been working pretty well so far. So we've revamped the site, try to give it a new look and feel. And we're also trying to make it a little bit more easy to navigate. We're going to have more in-depth content for both developers and users, so that these plugins can kind of just continue to grow.
Just to tease Richard a little bit, I wanted this site because I didn't think that the Apple pages were keeping up with the amount of plugins that were flowing in quite fast enough, and I knew you would. I knew you'd be all over it. And we have an RSS feed that comes into Inside Aperture from your site. So it's basically the minute you find out about something and post it, then it shows up on Inside Aperture. And then, of course, you cross-post also. And so, you know, actually, it's interesting. Mike is sort of tying all of this together because, you know, he's involved with all of our efforts here.
The aspect of immediacy through his site has been one that I think benefits the community. I mean, Apple being a big company, it takes us a while to get stuff through the system and published and things like that. When you're talking about a community that's dynamic, that, you know, things are happening on a daily basis rather than a monthly basis or something like that, it allows people to get that, you know, hey, there's a plugin that does this, and boom, it's out there. I mean, a great example is when the FileMaker plugin was announced and got, I think it was first announced on the Aperture Plugged In site, and how many hundreds or so hits happened in that first day? I mean, they had 600 downloads, I know, of the plugin in the first, like, number of hours. And that's fantastic for a brand new app to just boom, right out of the gate. But, you know, maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the things that went on for that week afterwards that were very, very happy over at FileMaker.
You know, I recognize that plugin as being pretty powerful for photographers, especially photographers working in the studio who want to be able to share information between Aperture and the different FileMaker databases they might have for running their studio. And so when I heard about it, I decided to initially just post the news and then kind of follow up with a little bit more of a, you know, in-depth article about what's going on with that plugin. And it's really taken off. We've gotten lots of hits, and you know, I think it's one of those plugins that's going to be really useful in the future.
So here's an example of that cross-pollinization that we think is so important at apertureprofessional.com is that, you know, what ended up happening on our end of the story is that we had some users posting some forum threads about how they really wish that there was some tool available that would let them export information to FileMaker, and that happened to come right at the same time as these guys were announcing it. And since Micah was in charge of our coverage of this, we knew it was available. And so here we have a photographer who just happens to be musing about how they're looking for a tool on the same day as a tool is being released. And so both in our own news section and in the forums, we're able to tell this person, go ahead and take a look at it. And they downloaded it and they've been using it. And that's exactly the kind of things that we're looking to foster in the community, is that sort of connection between the developers. And I think you hit on a really important point when you said that a lot of these developers are photographers, because there's a certain level of passion that's part of photography. And some programmers feel that level of passion, but some programmers don't. You know, some programmers do it for the steady paycheck. And I think that the reason why the Aperture plugin world has exploded so quickly is because that level of passion has carried over for these developers who want to see ways to do things that they couldn't do before with this tool that they love. And we think it's incredibly important.
I do too. And I think it's really interesting. Then I've also seen it go from the other way, where guys that are developers who maybe aren't really photographers, but they have friends that are photographers and are bugging them. And so they're downloading the 30-day trial, as we've talked about before. They're working on a plugin, and then they're sending it out to all of us. And it's so funny, when you start to get near the end of the 30-day trial, they're going, I really need your feedback, like within the next 3 days, you know, because like, and I'm going, just buy the application, you know, but it's, and a lot of them do, of course, but it's so funny. That demo has had reverberations beyond just getting new users as photographers, but it's really spurred the development process.
We were very keen on doing that, is that we didn't want to put any limitations into a trial. You know, you can do this, but you can only do this size photo, or you can do this, but it's going to be watermarked. It's like, I think those kind of trials don't do anybody any real good at all. When you can really get it, try it out. You know, a majority of our people, they're using iPhoto and loving it, and they want to do more with it. So they put their foot in the Aperture, and they start to see what they can do. And there's great podcasts that you've done and stuff about migrating from one app to the other, and how do you do that? Well, it gives them a way to sort of do that without having to commit until they know that that's what they want to do. Because it is a prosumer professional type tool, and it requires, you know, a learning curve. And once you get past that and you do all this stuff with it, it's just fantastic. But for some people, iPhoto might be fine. This way they get that chance, and they get a chance to try it all the way out. And in the same token, if they want to extend their workflow through some of the plugins, why limit that in a trial? Make the plugins be fully available so that you can get a trial, you can try it with the FileMaker plugin or whatever plugins that are out there that are free. You can see how it's going to fit into your workflow. If it's something that you want, boom, you can make that choice. And then I think most importantly for the developer standpoint, it's like, there's developers that are out there a lot of them have day jobs, if you will, and they're doing stuff, and they do these kind of plugins on the side. And this gives them a chance to sort of try it out and see if people are going to be interested in it. And if, you know, we go back to Fraser all the time, because he's a classic example of somebody that doing this thing on the side, made the, Aperture to Flickr plugin, and has been phenomenally successful from the standpoint of an individual making a plugin for people. I think we all use it here, and I know tons of other people, and I know that the one that he sells, his pro version, is doing very, very well for him. So, and again, gives him the chance to try it out. So trial is very important. Make sure that it's something that people can really get to use.
Yeah, Fraser Spears, his story, I think, is a really good one in terms of the independent developer, because he actually started with the iPhoto, the Flickr, and really wrestled with that thing for quite a while, and really learned the ins and outs, and I think learned a lot of lessons. So when Aperture came along, he was in such good position to write a good plugin. He did a great job with it. And then the next thing I know, you know, Connected Flow, you know, is his software endeavor is just doing fabulous. And I remember talking about these sort of things with Fraser years ago, when he was looking for that project to hang his hat on. And I just, this is just, it is a great story. And I would love to see about another 100 of these stories here in the near future.
Well, I think you're going to start to find them. I mean, remember that we're 8 months young with this SDK for Aperture. And this is the first time Aperture has ever been at WWDC. We kind of take it for granted because we're so heads down in it for so long. This is our first WWDC for this application. There's a course that's being taught on it here on Thursday. Actually, the engineer who's teaching that is going to be here tonight. It's a chance where a majority of the developers that have done stuff for this application are here as well. And there's a ton of other developers. I mean, this is our biggest developer conference ever, over 5,000 developers. And there's a bunch of them that haven't done plugins for Aperture yet that are all coming by that want to, you know, hey, I've got some ideas for things. I want to get in there. I want to find out what's going on, because they all remember the early days of another product called Final Cut and how that took off and now has become so prevalent in the production space. And, you know, if we do everything right, that's where we're going to be with Aperture. So they all see that. And for our first developer conference, pretty good. 35, a little more than 35 plugins. Let's see where we're at when we're 1 year old.
Yeah, I'm enjoying them too. So, David, why don't you tell us where people can find out more about your network, and make sure you give us a website URL.
The Aperture Users Professional Network is at apertureprofessional.com. There's about 80% of our content is completely free and open to the public, which is sort of along that same demo idea that is behind the 30-day trial. People can come and take a look at the site, and then we have member-only content and special training and education for members. So everything's available there, and that's where you can find out all the things we're doing.
Excellent. And Micah, tell us a little bit about now where we can, if you're not getting the RSS feed already, but where we can go over and take a look at your redesigned site.
AperturePluggedIn.com. And you can go there. There's an RSS feed you can get if you want one. And there's also a running list of all the plugins that are available for download now right there. And you can get links to the individual developer site right from within there too.
Terrific. Well, gentlemen, thanks so much, and I'm looking forward to the next 35 plugins or so.
Excellent. We'll see you when we hit 100. Let's do that. That'll be our next one, okay? But thanks very much. This has been fun.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.